Welcome back to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
And today, we're going to talk about Onyx Storm.
Ooh.
And it's going to be spoilers the whole way through. So if you haven't read this book, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
But go read it. It was good. It was confusing.
Yeah, let's give our overall thoughts. I guess that will be their only non-spoiler.
If you could describe this book in one word.
What?
Or how it made you feel in one word, what would you say?
Lost.
That's a good word. I would probably say frustrated.
Yeah. No, I actually really liked this book, but everyone's entitled to their opinions. I know a lot of people are really angry about this book.
Mm-hmm.
I personally liked this one better than Iron Flame.
Yes. If we are, like, rating all of the books, I would say Fourth Wing is number one,
mm-hmm.
Onyx Storm is number two, and Iron Flame is number three.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Because there was so much more that happened in this book. And they moved around a lot more.
Yeah.
And
I found Iron Flame writing to be a lot more problematic and repetitive. So I really liked Onyx Storm. I thought it was really fun to read. I do understand, though, because once you finish it, there's just more questions than there are answers, which is really frustrating. Mm-hmm. So anyways,
it's like we didn't get a lot of answers.
No. All that time spent, everyone theorizing about what's going to happen in Onyx Storm, and literally we got no answers. We got two answers that we could think of.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about those. But all the other questions, still unanswered.
Yeah. And it's like,
which is so annoying.
Some of them, are they even fully answered? Like, one of them that we feel like we got answered is why she has silver hair. But I'm like, I feel like that's still not fully answered.
So today, we're just going to talk about Onyx Storm. We're not going to go through everything that happened. We're just going to talk about the things that we want to talk about.
Which is still a lot.
The questions that we have after finishing the book. Yeah, it's still a lot. So, if you need a recap, I'm sure there's some great YouTube videos out there that you can find.
We're not your recap girlies for this. Especially not me, as in Shelby. This was definitely more of a vibe read for me.
She has no idea what happened. No, I'm just kidding. She was like, oh, fun.
There were parts that I had to reread, and I was like, oh, okay. I did miss some things, but overall, pretty good. Made me frustrated. First thing that I noticed before the book even starts is there's like a trigger warning, and it talks about animal death in it. So I was like, oh, great.
Yeah. Shelby was convinced Taryn was going to die.
I was convinced because I was like, Rebecca is giving us his final moments. Like, she keeps saying how old he is. He's never going to bond another writer. Like, just all of these things throughout the whole book. Like, I was convincing myself that Taryn was going to die. And Rebecca had told us, like, we will cry. There's someone that you love that's going to die. Which,
people not being someone that significant.
I know. That kind of made me mad. Like, I feel like she was way throwing us off with all of those things.
It wasn't even a main character. It was a side character.
And the thing about, like, a betrayal. Like, there wasn't any major betrayal from, like, a main character. And she said there would be a betrayal. And I'm like, okay, I'm not listening to anything Rebecca says anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, she messed us up good.
But I was convinced Taryn was going to die. I'm sure he probably will still at some point.
No, I refuse to believe that. Like, I refuse. And I'm so glad he didn't die because I was like, this will be the death of me if he dies.
I know.
I will stop reading the series.
That would be so terrible.
No, so terrible. It's not happening. It's not. Okay, we're just going to kind of go in chronological order of certain things we want to talk about. But I'm going to jump into, like, the middle of the book.
Because the first part of the book, I'm sure a lot of you felt this. It was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
What? Second of all, I'm bored.
Who are all these people?
I know, I think Shelby said you had an opposite opinion of this, but I actually really liked the storyline of them, like, Violet created the squad to go search for the Irids, and they were traveling from continent to continent, or mm-hmm. city to city. And you were like, that's kind of boring. I actually loved that, because I got to meet new people and, like, experience new cultures. I don't know, I thought it was kind of fun. And it was, like, all your favorite characters were together, and none of the characters you didn't care about were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Well, I did not like it. I did like how we were changing locations a lot and there were more characters. I did like how a lot of the characters had a bigger role in this book, like Kat and Mira and mm-hmm. Garrick and Riddick and Bodhi. Everybody was freaking simping over Riddick.
Oh,
he was so good. Yeah, we got a couple new book
boyfriends in this book.
Uh-huh. Everyone's Riddick, like...
Dane.
Wasn't it you? You were like, Riddick is actually more...
Yeah.
My kind of type of guy.
I do say I'm a Zayden girl. But if it were actual real life and not fantasy,
mm-hmm.
let's be honest, like, Riddick would be for sure who I am attracted to.
Yeah.
Because of how funny he is. That's, like, my favorite quality in a person is humor. So yeah.
No, that was good. I was hoping, though, that, like, Kat and Violet would have more of a closer friendship and be able to bond about some Zayden things, and that didn't happen.
No.
But that's okay. That's okay.
So Violet puts together this squad of all the people she trusts to help her look for the Irids, and she brings Dane because he is really good at some of the dead languages, and she's going to need him to help translate in some of the continents. They get to some of the continents, and he's struggling a little bit to translate. He's doing good enough. Like, they'd be fine. And all of a sudden, Arik just starts fluently speaking these languages. And everyone's like, hello? When were you going to tell us that you could do that? And that part was really funny to me. And also, I thought of the funniest theory as to why Arik didn't tell anyone. And it's so that they would... Because, okay, spoiler, everything in this episode's a spoiler, but we find out later that Arik is a precog or can see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if he saw the future and saw when Dane gets slapped and thought it was so funny that he couldn't resist letting Violet make him come because he can speak the languages?
Yeah, and he had to see it.
He's like, nah, I'm not going to deprive myself and everyone of this.
That's so funny. That would be
What if funny? That's the reason Arik kept it quiet?
Because there really is no reason why he needed to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Or it was just, like, information that, like, never really came up. And he's like, yeah, I was raised this way.
He's like, you never asked.
He kind of gives Dorian vibes a little bit.
Yeah, I'm starting to like Arik more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next point. It is confirmed in this book that Liam did have a second signet, and it was ice wielding,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because a lot of people before this book came out talked about a part in Fourth Wing where Liam wields ice, and they called it a typo. They were like, oh, Rebecca originally thought he was going to be the ice wielder. It turns out it wasn't a typo.
He had a second signet.
That is crazy. That Easter egg was right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
We find out about a lot of second signets. Don't we find out about...
which was really fun.
Don't we find out about Garrick's in that moment, too?
I don't... Oops, sorry. Let me...
Put your phone on Do Not Disturb.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, it's on Do Not Disturb now. Sorry. So, I don't know when we find out Garrick's second signet.
But we find out he's the distance wielder.
Yes, that he's a distance wielder, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool second signet and very useful.
Well, and that was one of the theories of Violet's second signet because it's, like, in the books a lot. So, it's like somebody had to have it.
Yes. Yes, they talk about it. But we didn't know anyone that had it. So we knew somebody in this book would have that signet. So,
yeah.
Very exciting. Like that.
Like that.
I like that. I like it a lot. I don't know why I said that.
Also, Riddick's second signet, while we're on that topic, and then we can talk about Violet's later, but wasn't his, like, where he can freeze water inside of people's body?
Ice wielding. So that's his first signet.
Okay, okay. That's not a second signet?
No. So he already wields ice, so.
But we find out.
But he finds out that he can freeze the water inside, like, people's bodies, which
that would be so painful.
That is, like, morbid.
Ew.
Anyways, we also find out that Zayden becomes a professor in this book, and I was like, okay, Professor Zayden.
Except nothing, like, really happened with it.
Yeah, it was kind of super random. I just am like, was this, like, a kink that Rebecca put in here? It was more like a forbidden. I think she wanted to put it in there, in my opinion, for, like, a forbidden romance.
Yeah.
Trope,
but it did level him up. I imagined him in a suit and tie and glasses for like a split second.
Zayden in glasses.
Zayden in glasses.
Bye. I'm done. Okay. Throughout the book, Violet keeps accidentally sending her thoughts to Zayden, mm-hmm. and it happens over and over again. Like, why was this happening? Because is it because Zayden? His signet was stronger because he's part Venon, do you think? Or do you think it was something to do with her because it was really mysterious?
Okay, there was that one point, hold on, where on page 187, is this kind of what you're talking about?
I don't know what page.
So
it happened multiple times.
It had to be Violet, especially in this moment. So in Violet's inner thoughts, she says, it feels so right to be in his arms. Like, there was no quotes around it.
Mm-hmm. And then, it wasn't in italics.
And it wasn't in italics. Like, just that's what she was thinking.
Yeah.
And then out loud, Zayden says, because it is. And Violet goes, I didn't say that out loud. Zayden says, then you must have thought it down the bond because I wasn't pushing into your intentions. Or your signet is growing. And I'm like, okay, wait. It's a little bit unclear of who said, or your signet is growing.
Right.
Like, was it Violet or was it Zayden?
Yeah.
So, like, in that moment, reading it, I was like, she's an intrinsic. Right. For sure.
But that, yeah. Which is crazy because then we do find out she's a type of intrinsic, but only when people are asleep.
Yeah. Which, like, is that a type of intrinsic?
Yes.
Okay.
Her second signet is a type of intrinsic.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can go into people's heads.
Yeah.
Into their subconscious brain. But, yeah, that, I don't know if you guys noticed that page, but we did, we were like, what is happening?
Like, it was confusing.
It wasn't clear whether Zayden said your second signet is growing, or your signet is growing, or she said your signet is growing stronger.
Uh-huh. And it wasn't clear of, like, who it was.
Right. Like, and this happened multiple times, where she accidentally sends a thought to
Zayden. Like, it had to be Violet in all of those moments.
It's definitely mysterious.
Mm-hmm. It's meant to be, for sure. It's mysterious.
When they were traveling to different continents that didn't have magic, and suddenly nobody could communicate with their dragons or use their powers... why was Violet the only one able to communicate with her dragons?
Mm-hmm.
And also, it really bugged me that she never asked Taryn. I'm so curious. Was she not so curious? She literally just was like, oh, cool, I can communicate. Okay, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask Taryn? Hey, Taryn, what's going on? How come I can hear you and nobody else can hear their dragons?
That is so true.
It bugged me so bad that she didn't just ask. Or Andarna. Like, just ask.
Well, she just assumed. She was like, oh, Andarna and Taryn have magic here.
Yeah, but why?
End of the story.
Yeah, but why? Okay, so, like, there is a theory that the Irids channel magic from the sky, as opposed to the rest of the dragon breeds channel their power from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why in those continents when nobody else has magic is because the sky still has magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so Andarna... And then through her bond with Taryn and Violet,
yeah,
they all still have power.
I thought the Irids, that's how I was saying it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And I had the audiobook, too. Like, I would listen to some of it. I think that might be.
I think you're right. In my head, I was saying irids, but it's short for iridescent, so it would be irid.
Irid.
Probably, I'm guessing.
I thought that they were such a cool addition to this book, and I was like, I just want to learn so much more about them.
Yeah.
And then you find out that, like, that's what Endarna is. But also, there is a small part of me that doesn't believe she's irid. I feel like she's so much more than just that.
Interesting.
But it could be, like, the way that she was raised, or that she, like, went into the writer's quadrant and stuff like that, and she, like, chose to be that way. So maybe, like, that's what I'm feeling. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked the irids, but then towards the end when they took Endarna...
You didn't... You liked them, and then you didn't, and then you liked them, and then you didn't.
Yeah.
Along those same lines, when Violet is the only one with magic, she keeps accidentally wielding lightning in Unbreal, but she denies it. She was like, oh no, it's just a storm outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's very obvious that she was accidentally wielding. Mm-hmm. I think it's supposed to be obvious to us as readers, but she still denies that that was her.
Mm-hmm. Because somehow Taryn and Darna have magic, so Violet has magic.
Right, so that's just further... shows and why, like, I want to know so badly.
And this was in Umbriel, right?
Yes.
But I wonder if it's because she was, like, half dedicated or something.
Interesting. Maybe, you know, it has to do maybe it does have to do with her partial dedication,
because it's like she is kind of a part of that, and like Dune and all of that. So I don't know, maybe it's her and not her dragons.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And then we go to, where are we in Unbreal? Zayden's mom poisons everyone.
Oh yeah, we meet Zayden's mom.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Which we didn't know if that would ever happen.
But he like hates her.
Uh huh. And she's like kind of the worst. She's like super fake. Yeah, she is the worst.
Yeah. She's, like, weirdly really, really nice, but it's just so that she can manipulate people. And then, obviously, she doesn't really care about Zayden because she tries to kill him with chocolate cake.
Yeah, she brings out his favorite food ever, and it has poison in it.
And what's worse is it wasn't just, like, a last minute, like, oh, they're up to something, let's poison them. She had been plotting this for weeks and weeks because chocolate is really, really hard to come by there.
Mm-hmm.
So she had been hoarding it in small amounts for super long, just so she could have chocolate cake made.
Yeah.
For when, and also, how did they know that they were coming?
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to know. That was supposed to be a surprise, yet she knew Zayden was coming because she planned it for weeks. For it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, that was weird. There were a couple funny moments in that part.
Yeah, that dinner was so awesome. Why? And so awkward.
Why were they discussing their last names? Like, were they talking about, did someone ask them, like, who would take which name or whatever? Because Garrick, or... I can't remember if it was Garrick or Riddick that was, like, combining their last names, like Rorgel or Sorensen. Oh,
yes, yes. Is it because they were talking about marriage? Like, they were trying to get Zayden to marry someone else for a couple years?
Mm-hmm.
And Zayden is just, like, not even entertaining the idea, obviously. Uh-huh. They're like, we could get you, you know, we could have a priestess... marry you like tomorrow.
Yeah, like right now.
And he's like, great, let's do it. Just, you know, the name's Violet Soaringale.
Uh-huh.
It's like, great, yeah, you can marry us, but like it's gonna be Violet that I'm marrying. And they're like, wait, no, that's not what we were saying.
Then maybe that's when they
and then I think that might be, like, if I remember, I'd have to reread it, but yeah, I think that's when they started talking about, okay,
I thought that was so funny though.
What's your last name gonna be?
Oh, and then the memes of eating the chocolate cake.
Garrick, everyone is a little hesitant. They look over, Garrick just pounded the whole piece. He was like, man, that was good. And they're like, shoot. Garrick, maybe you should have taken a chill pill on the chocolate cake. And Violet,
couldn't she, like, smell it?
The thing that tipped her off was she looked across the table and Zayden's mom and her husband and whoever else was on their side didn't have forks for their cake. And so she's like,
something's up.
Something's wrong. And then she was like, crap, Garrick ate the whole thing.
Of course he did.
Or like half of it, but he ate a bunch of it. That would have been me.
I know.
I would have been like, chocolate cake.
Have you ever had Magleby's chocolate cake?
Yes, it's like the Matilda. Okay.
That is the chocolate cake that I imagine in this series.
New craving unlocked.
Let's go get some.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. Why'd you do that to me? I gotta go get some after this. It's really close to me.
Ooh, let's go get some.
Okay.
It is close to you, huh?
Yeah, it's probably like 5-10 minutes drive. Okay, back on track.
We're pausing to go get chocolate cake real quick.
No, we're not. No, we're not. I was actually going to make cookies after this, so.
What?
I had some cookie mix, but sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, back on track.
They're in Zanol.
Is that how you say it?
I think
because that is not at all how it's spelled.
That is not how it's spelled.
It's spelled Zahilna. Zahilna.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Zanol.
Okay, this is where they go. They show up. Everyone's waiting for them again. How did they know? It's freaking me out that everybody knows that they're coming.
Yeah.
They're like, we've been waiting for weeks. Just like people just come in and out of the Colosseum. I don't know if they called it a Colosseum, but that's essentially what it was.
Uh-huh. That's how I imagined it.
And then finally the dragons show up and everyone's excited. It's like this really fun event. You're definitely on edge because they seem really, really nice. Obviously, they've had issues with the other continents they visited with everyone trying to kill them. Mm-hmm. So they get here and we're like, okay, what is going to be the problem here? And they're like, oh, you want to meet with the queen?
You have to do this test or get a gift.
Yeah, you just have to all accept a gift from whatever god they worship there. God of luck. Remember. They worship the god of luck, and I don't remember the name, but they're like, okay, seems easy enough. In order to talk to your queen, we all have to accept a gift. And it starts out pretty innocent, and
like Mira gets wine, and she's like, great.
Gets a ruby necklace, and you're like, okay.
That's Kat.
Kat gets a ruby necklace.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like there a compass, has to be a glass box.
There has to be meaning with and then, all of these.
Doesn't Riddick get a kiss?
Yeah. From like a man. And then Dane gets slapped.
I just know Rebecca was like kicking her feet writing this scene because she's just like so unhinged. This is like the funniest thing she can think of. Uh-huh. Just perfect for each character. Dane gets slapped across the face, as we talked about earlier, which is like the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. We get Broccoli. Hello.
The little kitten that's orange.
Yeah, Drake gets Broccoli. And then Traeger dies.
That was so
which was so sudden, and I just was so sad because Kat was finally in like a happy relationship.
Yeah,
she was so happy, and I was like, screw
and that
this.
Was like right I when I was thinking, are there going to be any other relationships that form in this book besides Violet and Zayden? And there was one, and then it just died instantly.
And then there's also Sawyer and Jacinya, who still
are
like not even together, but they clearly are in love with each other for like 3 books now. Like, come on.
There's theories that Sloane and Dane will get together.
I think they will.
Because her face
Mr.
Blushing.
Eyes on Me. Yeah, they're definitely getting together after that one.
But these gifts, like, there has to be a bigger meaning. Like, they get these broken things.
Well, the broken compass that Violet gets for sure is going to mean something.
It's going to guide her
to something
important. Which
I thought we were
going to
find out what it was in this book. But no, it just created more questions.
And Arix was the broken mirror, or, like, the glass box or whatever.
Zayden got the glass box, I think, and then Arix got the
broken mirror. See, I feel like that also is going to mean something. I bet Kat's necklace will help them as well. Like, they're, I hope all of those items that they got
that
will
would
come
be super
back
fun.
Into the story.
I would love that in the storyline.
I definitely thought it was going to happen
though,
this
did,
book.
Did Mira drink, was it a bottle of wine? A glass of wine? Did she just, like, chug it and then
probably.
It was done?
Yeah.
Broccoli turns out to be a giant monster.
Broccoli actually ends up turning into a dragon. He's a shapeshifter.
That would be so funny. And then after they do all this, obviously they're mourning the loss of Traeger, but luckily they don't have any issues with securing an alliance in Zinal or Zahilna or whatever you want to say that. doesn't make any sense to me. But they end up finding the Irids after, a little bit after this, which is what we've been waiting for the entire book. We meet the Irids and they're like, we don't like you. We're not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all of that for nothing.
Well, and it's not Andarna that they don't like. It's Violet that they don't like.
Yes.
And it was that, like, what did she do wrong?
But it's also the entire... It's all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't like humans. They have lost complete faith in humanity,
mm-hmm.
and are saying that they have ruined dragons, that they've turned them into weapons, and all they care about is killing each other
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So they just don't support that. Irids are more of a peaceful breed.
Yeah.
So.
And they have, like, very strict... Not, like, rules, but, like, tradition. And they do not like how Andarna does things.
Right. You know what I just thought, though, that I hadn't even thought of before?
What?
You know how Irids are supposed to be way more peaceful
mm-hmm.
in their nature? Andarna, from the very beginning, has been so cutthroat.
Yeah.
She's like, when do I get to scorch the humans? Like, I know they blame it on Violet,
mm-hmm.
but we know it's not Violet's fault. Like, all she's ever done is just love Andarna.
Yeah.
And Andarna has offered up her powers and her gifts to help Violet completely of her own free will.
See,
Violet has never manipulated her. So your theory that that Andarna is not Irid actually could make sense, because that is the first thing we thought about that actually backs it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love Andarna, but she's not of a peaceful nature. She enjoys killing.
Yeah.
Like, she is violent.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't Violet that turned her into that. Like, that was her nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you tell me.
Ooh.
That was nice.
Did you hear that
neck pop? Yeah, that was a good neck pop. Also, if Irids can be any color that they want...
Why does she choose black? Blackish purple.
Well, she changes throughout the whole book.
Yeah.
To blend in with stuff.
I was hoping she would, like, turn into a white dragon. Just for that opposition of Taryn being black and then Andarna being
that would be fully cool. white. But if Irids can be any color, doesn't that technically mean any of the dragons that we've ever met in this book prior
could be
an Irid?
Yeah.
Because they can pretend to be any color. Is Sigael an Irid? I don't actually think that, but it's possible. And it's crazy to think about.
Honestly, Sigael is so sus to me.
Well, why did they want her so bad? Did the Venon in the end just want her so badly because they knew it was the one thing that would get Zayden to turn?
Or was there something else?
Sorry. I'm having a stroke. We know that the one thing that would actually get him to turn is Violet.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing he's most passionate about. Like, if they threatened Violet's life, why did they target Sigael instead of Violet?
Yeah, it was interesting that it ended up being Sigael, because there is that one quote. Right. I don't know who says it, but that a dragon is a writer's first love.
Hmm.
Or something like that.
Yeah. And they kept saying, like, you'll bring her to us, you'll bring her to us. And that whole time, I'm thinking it's Violet that they want him to bring.
Yeah.
But it's Sigael in the end.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they need Violet alive. I don't really know.
There's just, like, this so many is why questions. I'm so frustrated, because there's still so much more that is unanswered.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. In chapter 46, Lynx manifests as a shadow wielder, which is crazy because we haven't had another shadow wielder. But also, who the heck is Lynx? Could you tell me? Because I don't know who that is. He just popped out of nowhere. He's like, boom, I'm a shadow wielder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and you are?
But I think that purpose is just to show that Zayden is turning Venom.
Right.
So he's, like, losing that.
Right. I agree. It's just so funny how Rebecca just makes characters pop up out of nowhere when she needs someone. She makes
them pop up and then kills them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if she needs to kill someone, she's like, let me just create a new character and then kill him. Like, mm-hmm. Traeger. And I'm like, okay. All right.
Like, I actually, this is terrible. I wish that someone more significant would have died. Because it's like another Sarah J. Maas, nobody died moment.
Right.
You know?
Or they just come back. Mira.
Yeah, that was like an Amarin moment. I mean, I guess
she never totally died, but you thought she was dead.
And it's like, was it necessary for them to bring her back? I mean, maybe, because maybe Sloane and Dane are, like, going to be more significant. I think that moment
was significant on how they were able to bring her back.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that, but it's also, like, why?
Yeah.
No, like, nobody died. We lost Traeger, which sucked for Catriona, mm-hmm. and then we lost Quinn, which was, yes, very sad. I didn't cry about it, though.
I didn't cry either.
Like, I was kind of like, who's Quinn again?
Yeah, but then, like, she brings in the backstory, and yeah. that was sweet, but
yeah, and also,
I did not get emotional at all during that part, and yeah. it's because you're just not attached to her.
Yeah.
But maybe it's also because we just read the last letter, and that was horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We also learn Violet's second signet, which I have very mixed feelings about. And I know we talked about this, but she's a dream walker, so that's why she always finds herself in Zayden's dream. And then she realizes that she did find herself in someone else's dream during this book, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who it was?
Was it Marilis or whatever that character was?
Something like that. Y'all,
I don't remember who it was.
Anyways, she is able to go into other people's dreams, and because she's still new to it, I think she does it subconsciously, but I think she's going to learn how to do it purposefully.
I had a funny thought. What if she just, like, accidentally walked into, like, one of Riddick's wet dreams?
Oh.
And could not get out.
She's like, get me out of here. She just is accidentally in a sex dream.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Oh, snap.
That would be terrible, honestly.
Oh, I'm dead. Garrick's running from chocolate cake in his dream. He's like, I'm terrified.
There's a giant chocolate cake monster running after him. Oh, that is so funny.
That is hilarious.
How did you feel when you found out she was a dreamwalker?
Yeah, so like I said, I have mixed feelings. I was like, that's it? So first, but... It's like,
how is this going to be useful?
Yeah, they do kind of explain it, right? So they're like, this is actually a very powerful signet. Zayden's explaining how it is a type of intrinsic.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is very powerful because if you're a regular intrinsic, if people have their shields up really well, you can't read their thoughts.
Yeah.
But when they're sleeping, they can't have their... shields up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go into their subconscious brain and know things. But how do you know what's real and what's just a dream? That's what I was just going to say.
Because, like, when I'm dreaming, there's things that are, like, come from my real life, but also just the most random things ever.
Yeah,
so, like, how is she going to be able to decipher that?
Yeah.
We literally just had the same thought.
Whoa. And also, I do realize that, yes, it's powerful because we explained why, but I just don't think that's it. I still believe the theory that Andarna gifted her a power when she was young because of the language that was used in Fourth Wing about Andarna gifting her something. It's not a signet. It's a gift from Andarna because she was a feather tail, and we think it has to do with time. And also the Irids, when they met Violet and Andarna, they looked at Violet and Andarna and said, well, they were talking about how Violet is a lightning wielder, which is extremely dangerous and, like, a very powerful killing, you know, signet.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, but, Andarna, you've gifted her something way more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my god, gosh, what is it? And then you're like, dream walking.
Yeah.
There's so, no like, way that's more dangerous or is than it lightning.
A gift.
Which I could think, be time. Because they didn't, yeah, they said you've given her.
Yeah.
Something way more dangerous. I think that was the gift that Andarna gave her that we still have yet to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Before we talk about that more, because yeah. Emily had a theory while reading that I want her to explain, but I want to talk about the dream walking a little bit.
Yeah.
Does Violet have to also be asleep?
Ooh, good question.
Because that's what I didn't understand. It seemed like she was always asleep when yes. she was dream walking because but, it was like it was her dream, but it wasn't her dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if like she learned how to control it.
Exactly.
She could be awake and walk into somebody's dream and that would be useful.
Yeah. Hopefully. I hope. Because mm-hmm. that would be way cooler.
Yeah.
Because then she's conscious and able to control it as opposed to her subconscious going into someone else's subconscious.
Yeah. Totally.
So.
But speaking of Andarna gifting Violet time, Emily had a theory while we were mm-hmm. reading, and it's not an actual thing because by the end of the book, you find out more information, but it was like really fun to think about while we were yeah. reading. So you explain that. It has to do with
okay, yeah.
Theophany. And first of all, that character was like the most intriguing character in this whole book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need more of her. Like, what's going on with her? What's happening? She's just like Violet. She is a lightning wielder. But explain your theory.
Yeah. So there are theories that Andarna gifted her time travel. Like we talked about. That's not my original theory, but I do think it's very possible. When we met Theophany for the first time, it was a Venon, right, with silver hair, and then we see her wield lightning, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, that's literally Violet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my theory was that Theophany is just Violet in the future, like after she's turned Venon.
Mm-hmm.
Which hopefully that never happens, but I feel like it probably will.
She was gifted time.
Right.
Maybe she could time travel or something.
Right.
And it's like Theophany knew information about Violet of where she was. Yeah.
She always knew where she was going to be.
Yeah.
Even when Violet didn't even always know. Like Theophany was everywhere, kept leaving notes everywhere she went. And it's like, why and how did she know exactly what Violet's next move was going to be? Well, if she's Violet in the future, that explains it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, because the end of this book is kind of heartbreaking-ish, slash we don't even know what happened, but obviously we didn't necessarily find the cure for Venon yeah. like we were hoping for. So maybe Violet has to turn and then goes back in time to help herself, her past self. By the cure. So anyways, that was my theory, but we did learn by the end of the book, first of all, that lots of people have silver hair, and it's because they've been dedicated
to Dune.
As a high priestess in the Temple of Dune. They've been dedicated to Dune, and so that explains the silver hair, and then also we find out that Theophany is not a lightning wielder, but she is a storm wielder. Is that how you call it?
I think so.
How you say it?
Yeah.
So she, and then I was like, okay, so it's definitely not Violet
yeah,
in the future.
But, like, it still could be, because what if Violet is also a storm wielder, not just a lightning wielder?
That'd be crazy.
But, like, she did kill Mira, but they did bring her back. So if she is a time traveler, she would have known that they brought Mira back. What? I don't know. So, like, there's still a possibility for that theory, but that's kind of a stretch.
Yeah.
Of it being true still. I just thought that was like super fun while we were reading, and I'm like, I was a little bit disappointed when that all
when
happened.
When we find out that it's not
like,
the truth.
Oh, like that would have been actually
way crazy.
Cool.
Yeah. I would have loved that theory.
Yeah.
But would it have been too obvious? Like, ooh, who's this mysterious Venon with silver hair that wields lightning?
Yeah.
It's me in the future. Like, was that kind of cliche? Maybe.
Yeah. My other theory, because Theophany is Venon. Correct?
Yes.
Is that Violet could be part Venon still, because we mm-hmm. we don't really get that answer, and like
right.
that still could be a possibility, and she has some type of connection to Violet because of that, so that could be why she knew where Violet was going
yeah.
and what she was thinking and all of that.
Right. Okay. So, towards the end of the book, the Irids end up showing up to help, which you didn't think they were. They show up and help get the wards up when they're in a moment of dire need to get rid of the Venon and Wyvern. But then they show up and kind of say, hey, sorry, we were really harsh. Like, Andarna, it's not your fault that you are the way you are. So we're going to give you a second chance, and you're going to come live with us, and we're going to teach you the ways of the Irids, and then you can choose what kind of dragon you want to be and how you want to live your life.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, sounds good. And they're like, but here's the catch. You have to break your bond with Violet. And she's like, not an option. And they're like, okay. And then Andarna and Violet talk about it, and Violet's like, I am going to support you, whatever you choose. And Andarna chooses to go with the Irids, and they break the bond. And I was so mad.
It was so, so sad.
I was like, no,
I did Andarna's, not expect like, that at you know, all.
No. I was so mad.
But then she was gone for like 0.2 seconds.
Yes.
She came back. And it's like, when she came back, they still have their connection. But while Andarna was gone, Violet could still dreamwalk.
Okay, yes. And I just realized something about this, because that was my next note, was after that, in chapter 56, Violet is in Zayden's dream. And I was like, how is this possible
if Andarna's not there?
And then I just realized her second signet is from Taryn, probably. Because... he was bonded to a family member of Violet.
So she still doesn't have Andarna's. So she could have
two signets from Taryn, another signet from Andarna, which we don't even know about.
And maybe and then a gift of time.
I'm like just realizing this. How do we not realize this? Taryn was bonded to Naolin, who's a relative of Violet. Mm-hmm. So she can get two signets from Taryn.
Mm-hmm.
Plus a signet from Andarna.
Andarna.
Plus if she gave her a gift. So maybe... she is going to have another signet from Andarna, or she did but didn't realize it, and that's what the Irids were referencing. Gave her something way more dangerous.
Yeah. Or Andarna never broke the bond.
Right, because in the end, because she left, right? And then at the end, after Violet wakes up, you know, after her, like, 12-hour amnesia period, where she doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
Because Imogen wiped her memories... Andarna is explaining to her, hey, Taryn's resting. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Andarna's back?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Yeah.
She was gone for like 2 seconds and then she just like puts the bond back in place all of a sudden?
That's why I don't think she ever broke the bond.
That's crazy though. Like, what was the point of Andarna leaving if she was going to come back literally like 2 seconds later?
I think we'll find out so much more about that. And maybe she didn't like fully...
maybe it was part of the
plan. Like, follow through with it or something. Maybe I don't know.
Everyone was in on a plan except Violet.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Just like how Aelin always left Rowan and everyone out of her plan.
Nobody knows what's happening at literally any given point in time.
Or it's like Violet was a part of the plan, but now she doesn't remember any of it because she got her memories wiped.
True.
You know?
True.
But are we talking about the ending, or do you have more?
We need to talk about, go back to when Mira got her throat slit and they brought her back.
Okay,
because Brennan is trying to bring her back, but he doesn't have enough power to fully heal her.
Uh-huh.
And then Sloane and Dane show up, and Dane is like, here, I'm not going to need my power for this battle because I'm useless.
Yeah.
He's not going to kill the Venon with his mind-reading power. So he's like, take my power and siphon it into Brennan so that we can save Mira.
Yeah.
So that's what Sloane does. I think she puts her hand on Dane's arm and Brennan's neck and basically pumps power into Brennan so that he can heal Mira. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The weird part about this is I think there were supposed to be gray marks where Sloane put her hands on them. And when she pulled her hands away, Violet specifically noticed it that there were no marks.
Yeah.
Why? I need to know why. And we don't get answers.
What if they're Venon?
Yeah, and I know. People, we definitely have theories that Brennan is Venon.
Yeah.
Brennan is Venon. First of all, his name rhymes with Venon. Second of all, he has an orange dragon.
Okay, wait. I have another thing to go with the whole Brennan thing. Okay. And it goes back into chapter 16. I didn't go back and look up the exact quote, but Violet said something like, every time Brennan mends me, that joint, like, doesn't last for long. Something along that lines. Along those lines. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Like, he can't...
like, he can't fully mend her. Or he's, like, purposely not fully mending her.
Oh, that's a theory. Because, yeah, this whole time you're thinking that Violet just has some sort of chronic joint issues that just cannot be fixed. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't be mended. They can't be healed. But, yeah, what if Brennan's purposely not healing her all the way? That's wild. That's crazy.
I still think he's going to be
one to betray. I still do not trust him.
I don't either.
And we didn't get answers about that in this book either. Of, like, is Brennan bad? Bad. Because he still sus. Ugh. So annoying. We also got Rhiannon's point of view. Oh, wait. I was going to say something else about this. Why did Dane have so much power?
Yeah.
Sloane describes it as, like, way more than your average dragon rider. Like, why is he Venon? Like, why did he have so much power?
Everyone's just Venon.
I don't think Dane's Venon, though. I really just don't.
I don't think feel so either.
That. But why is Dane so secretly powerful?
I don't know. He just holds all of this power that's that she crazy. Can siphon. But maybe that's, like, normal. Like, since he doesn't have to use that power.
Yeah, it just maybe builds that's, up. I don't know. Yeah. That's crazy. What if he can secretly read people without touching them? And he's just been reading everyone without them knowing. But he pretends like he has to touch them so that they don't know when he's reading them.
I could see that happening.
That'd be cool. Plot twist.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That would be interesting.
We get Rhiannon's point of view chapter. And I really enjoyed hearing her dragon's voice because her dragon was sassy. Mm-hmm. So sassy. But other than that, someone tell me what the point of that chapter was. Literally nothing happened.
No, nothing happened.
And I thought I literally was like, she's gonna die.
And I was actually so sad that she was not in this book more.
Yeah.
Like, what was the purpose of her staying behind? She wasn't even
significant, and then she got her own chapter where nothing happened, so I thought she was gonna die. Because then I was like, oh my gosh, that's why we started disconnecting from her, is because Rebecca didn't want us to have our heart broken too bad, so she made her less significant and then killed her off. But then she didn't.
Yeah, that chapter was so weird.
Like, why?
But then we get an Imogen.
Right. Pav. But that one is clear why we had that.
Yeah, like, there because was information in that
Quinn
one.
Died.
Uh-huh. And there was, like, random information that you could, like, totally theorize with in that chapter. And maybe there was stuff in Rhiannon's chapter that, like, we could look back at and think of theories. But that one was so pointless, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was completely pointless. So, in Imogen's point of view, her and her dragon, Glane, they are keeping track of their kills. And this part made me laugh so hard because it reminded me of that part in Lord of the Rings where the what's the little guy, you know? And
I don't know.
The blonde haired dude. Guys, this is so embarrassing.
Frodo?
No. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I think it's Orlando Bloom and, you know, the little guy, and they have competition where they are keeping track of their kills. And they'll be like, 16, 17. No, that one didn't count. I finished him. And they keep having this competition. So every time they kill something, they're like, 15, 16. That's exactly what Imogen and Glane were doing. And it was cracking me up. They're like, okay, we're at 10 kills.
I love the relationships between the writers and the dragons. It makes these books so fun.
Yes. That was everything I had chronologically. So we kind of talked about this already, but we only really got two questions answered.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I have a couple things.
Oh, sorry.
One thing with the whole Brennan and Dane thing, not having a mark.
Yeah.
There's a theory, well, I guess more with Dane and Sloane. So, number one, there's a theory that they're going to get together. Number two.
I believe that.
Dane and Sloane, this isn't my theory. It's one that I saw that I could see happening, will be the ones to bring Zayden back. And Sloane will siphon Venom from Zayden or whatever, or like out of him. I don't know exactly how it will work, but she'll use Dane and Dane will basically sacrifice himself and he'll die in the process. So that would be an interesting character arc for him. Another thing.
That'd be crazy.
And we did kind of talk about this, but when like Zayden fully turns, that mm-hmm. moment was intense. And it was interesting that he did it for Sigel and not for Violet, because this whole time we thought that he was going to do it for Violet.
Yeah, that was wild.
But maybe Violet will turn for Zayden.
Right.
And then, yeah, we just have, like, all of these things happen in the end. Like, there's four writers that are missing. Who are those writers? Did they turn Venom? There's the six stolen eggs. Like, why were the eggs stolen? Another theory that I thought was fun about that is some of them are Taryn and Sigel's eggs.
Yeah, I love that theory. Because who else?
Yeah.
Who else eggs are they?
Little
no, babies. Nobody else's dragons are getting it on.
Yeah.
And having babies.
Yeah.
Except Taryn and Sigel, right?
Uh-huh.
Has to be their eggs.
In the end, Zayden and Violet are married. And he gives her that ring. And there's the theory that like the last part of his soul is in the ring. And there's the note. What does the note say exactly?
It's yours. Something like that.
Well, there's a little bit more.
Yeah.
Hold on. It says, don't look for me, it's yours now. Right. Like, what's yours? You know? What? The ring? Taryn door? Like, what's yours?
What is it? Tell me. I'm dying. Yeah. No, I immediately was like, oh, it's Taryn door and Erasia.
Uh-huh.
But then you're like, but maybe not.
I think it's his soul. That's what I think. He gave her the ring, and his soul is hers now.
Somebody called it a Horcrux.
It totally is a Horcrux.
It totally is.
Like, that's what it has to be. So you know? Funny.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. What else with the end? Because I want to...
We already talked about how Andarna is back. And then she's like, Taryn's resting. And you're like, so why? And a lot of people are theorizing that it's because Taryn and Sigel had to break their bond.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So,
I love this theory.
That's why, like, something obviously extremely, extremely traumatic happened to Taryn, because he's never had to rest like this mm-hmm. ever.
But what if Sigel also turned Venom and... Is that a thing? Can the dragon turn back?
I don't know. It's giving a House of Dragon.
It is.
It's giving
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
And, or not Zayden. Taryn was like, I can't be bonded to her anymore. So he had to break the bond himself. And so that's why he's super sleepy now. And he has to go into deep sleep. Right. That is so sad.
That breaks my heart. If Taryn and Sigel are not mated. Like,
yeah.
Bye.
Another question is, who's the brother?
Oh my gosh.
Like, that was so
random. They kept talking about Zayden's new brother.
New brother.
Your new brother.
And in an interview, which I'm like, do I trust anything that Rebecca, any hints that she gives us anymore?
Oh my gosh, I know, right?
But in an interview that Rebecca did, they were asking, or she was saying, look out for somebody that's missing. And we obviously know that Garrick is missing, because Imogen brought it up and was like, where's Garrick? So, like, we think that he is one of the missing writers for sure.
So
but
is he
the brother?
Venom brother? Like, is he Venom? And that's why they're like, Zayden, it's your new brother. Like, what?
Yeah.
Super
creepy. Like, what does that mean?
I know. You know? We know Violet had her memories erased. Mm-hmm. And at first, I'm like, I don't understand why she would need to have her memories erased. Like, whatever the plan was, why couldn't she just know what the plan was? But then you're thinking, okay, maybe Zayden was protecting her against Intensix. And that's why he needed to erase her memories, is to keep them in their whatever plan he had safe.
Yeah.
I think that one's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only way that it would make sense that she needed her memories wiped.
Yeah.
And then another question is, what is Bodhi's second signet?
Oh my gosh, I'm so upset that we didn't get it, because in the middle of the book, Violet goes up to Bodhi and goes, hey, so, like, what's your second signet?
Yeah.
And he's basically like, I don't have one. Wink, well, wink, wink. Well, he said, wink.
I can't tell you I have a second signet, but just so you know, mine is just like Zayden's. Like, what? So he's an Intensic.
Yeah, he basically says, I don't have one, just like Zayden doesn't have a second signet.
Yeah, yes.
And so that's to me saying, I have a second signet, but I'm not telling you. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. I guess we'll find out later. And then we don't find out later, and no. I'm not happy about that.
No.
I'm so mad.
But based off of that one quote, sorry, I said it wrong. Emily said it the correct way. He's got to be an Intensic.
He has to be.
There's literally Intensics all over the place now. It's crazy.
Or a truth teller. Well, no, because I don't know.
That's not
Zayden's. They don't kill him. But yeah. Towards the end of the book... I didn't know if you had anything more to say about that.
No. The last thing that I do want to go over, but we can keep it for last, is chapter 49.
Oh, the spicy scene? Yeah. Okay, we'll save it.
We're going to explain it.
I don't know. Okay, we'll come back to that. Towards the end of the book, Arik, before they go into this, final battle, Arik's like, Violet, protect the temple.
Yes.
You have to protect the temple. Violet's being so annoying. She's like, why would I do that? And he's like, just do it. And she doesn't trust him. She doesn't listen. I'm like, Violet, why don't you listen? Anyways, luckily the temple is fine, but could that have possibly been because Arik could see the future, and that is where Violet and Zayden ended up getting married, and for whatever reason, their marriage is the only thing that could save Erasia. Because that's what they were making it seem like.
Yeah.
Like, Arik, well, Arik said that protecting the temple was the only way to save Erasia.
And speaking of saving Erasia, there's a theory that Violet's pregnant.
Crazy.
And throughout the whole book, they keep talking about the heir of Tirindor, heir of Tirindor.
Like, there's no heir of Tirindor.
And then Theophany at one point says, you reek of his kin.
What? I feel like that's so obvious.
That's so obvious.
Could Rebecca have been that obvious?
Maybe.
What else would she mean by you reek of his kin? Like,
but maybe this child is going to be the one to save Tirindor. The chosen one.
Plot twist. Okay, I just thought of a really unhinged theory. Maybe she was talking to Zayden and said you reek of his kin. She was talking about Taryn's kin. His eggs.
Oh.
Would that be crazy?
I could totally see that being a thing, and I probably would like that better than Violet being
pregnant. I would rather have that than a pregnancy trope.
The heir of Tirindor.
Right, right.
Like, a dragon isn't the heir of Tirindor. It has to be a human.
Totally. What else?
That's everything.
Okay.
Except for...
So, chapter 48 and 49 or whatever.
So... If you're listening to this, you most likely read these chapters, but if there's children around, maybe don't. I mean, we're not going to obviously go into explicit detail, because leave that for Rebecca.
But I can't really explain this without it being explicit. Because everyone, I guess we did not have an original experience, because we were talking about this with each other and some friends, and they're just like, what?
Yeah, like, what happened?
What was the logistics of them?
So we're talking getting it on. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about the confusing chair spicy scene. Like, what happened?
So I went back and read it.
Same.
And I have
it started
nailed it down.
I think I have too. Can I explain my version first, or we can both kind of go at the same time?
No, go for it.
So it started with the foreplay on the wall. the one line that I lost it is, he said, Zayden said to Violet,
I live for the clench of your thighs.
Oh, gosh. That is cringe central.
He goes on to say more after that that's very explicit, but I lost it from that one
okay,
line.
Come on. Come on, you guys.
Okay, then we get into the next chapter. He puts her standing on the floor. Like, that is specified. She's standing on the floor to start in between a chair with a tall back and the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, in front of the chair. At first, I was like, okay, is she on the side of the tall back of the chair? But I think she's on, like, the seated side. and then he lifts her knees onto the arms of the chair.
Yes.
So I'm like, is she on top of her knees or is, like, the backside of her knees? Like, is she kind of hanging on it or is she, like, in this deep straddle?
No, her knees, she's propping, he propped her so that she's higher.
Yeah.
So she's kneeling
on top of
the armchair.
Yes.
On the arms of the chair.
And he's sitting on the chair.
Yes.
And then he's like, hold on. So she holds on to the back of the chair. First of all, I'm like, there was so much rocking going on. Like, is this a rocking chair?
What? Plot twist. It was a rocking chair. No, it's an armchair with a high back. Anyways.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I just, like, imagine her, one, almost pulling a groin because she's in this deep squat.
Well, how wide is the armchair?
Well, I imagined it almost as big as, like, a throne. And I'm like,
snap.
Violet girl is flexible girl, but then she, like, goes
well,
higher.
Well, we do know that she's flexible, remember?
Yeah. Like, I don't doubt her abilities. But then once she grabs the back, because he says, hold on, she's higher. So that's, like, a little bit more comfortable.
Right.
And then he, you know, wants to, how do I say this? Give her some pleasure.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, still, even though she's, like, a little bit lifted, she's not going to meet his face if he was fully seated in the chair.
He's just slouching.
He has to be so sunken down, like how a little kid that's bored would sit in
right?
a chair.
And it's not cute.
No. And I'm like, that just, okay, just think about, like, his neck and
oh
how uncomfortable that would be. Like, little movement, you know? But she enjoyed it. And then after that, he slides under her.
He slithers.
Which, like,
out from under her.
If she is on top of her knees on the armchairs, like, there would be space to slide under her.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be elegant.
No. Like, that, I mean, there, when you are, how do I say this? When you're having fun time with your person, there are awkward moments for sure, and this is one of those awkward moments.
But we don't need it's. This is fantasy. There's not supposed to be awkward moments
yeah.
in fantasy.
Okay, then this is where it gets a little bit confusing. So I'm going to explain how I imagined it. So he slides under. He doesn't go back and sits on the chair. He's behind her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And he brings her right knee on the seat. So her left mm-hmm. knee is still on the armchair. And then he slides one of his knees underneath her. So her back is to his front. Mm-hmm. Like, they're spooning. Mm-hmm. Is that how you imagined it?
Yep.
So he's, like, half kneeling on the chair, half standing.
Yes.
Which I'm like, wow. He must have some length in order to get that in there here. But, sorry, I said we weren't going to be explicit, but we did warn you. There really is no way. But then he's like, look at me, or I don't know what he says. So she's, like, bending backwards, or he says, like, kiss me or something like that. So they're kissing, and then, like, this is happening, and I'm like, how can this work without it being a rocking chair? But, like, if you do think about it, he actually does have a lot of control to control her in this position, like grabbing her hips and doing the thing for her, you know.
Got it.
Then this is where I got confused. When he picks her up and she's straddling him.
Yeah.
So they're in a spooning position, but kneeling/standing.
Mm-hmm.
he picks her up, do they both turn? Because it's like he ends up sitting on the chair, but she's straddling him. Or does he pick her up and they end up on the bed and they're face to face? Like, are they in the spooning position still, or do they end up face to face?
So what I thought was that they end up face to face and she's sitting on his lap and he's sitting in the chair.
So, okay. But think about this. If her back is against his front, he has to pick her up
and then turn
himself around and then spin her around. Yeah.
Now, I understand that that's like very advanced, but he's really strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's a lot smaller than him. So I feel like he could do it.
Yeah, totally.
He just kind of like, you know, grab her waist and spin her around.
But like, that's a lot of legs going everywhere, you know?
Yeah, very impressive, to be honest.
Very.
Very advanced stuff. There's our explanation. I know you really wanted to know that. So sorry for the explicit nature of this.
And how did they not break the chair? I'm sorry. They broke every other piece of furniture ever, and they didn't break the chair. Okay, but
that table was really flimsy
in
my head. This chair is like a chair.
Now this is their chair. Nobody else can sit in it.
No. They have marked it.
Yep.
Anyways.
Is that how you visioned it?
Yes. Did I
explain it?
Yeah. No, yeah, that's exactly how I think that it was supposed to be. It was supposed to happen. But the first time I read it, I didn't know what was happening.
I thought she was in like a deep squat. Like she was standing on the chair and then she went into a deep squat.
She's like... like a gargoyle,
yes!
like crouching on the chair.
Yes.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, I had to go back and reread because I was just like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, same.
Because it didn't really matter, but then the whole internet was freaking out about what happened. So I was like, okay, I got to go figure it out.
We got to explain.
So there you have it.
I don't think I've ever studied a scene like that so much.
Yeah. Dallin's like, what are you doing? He was like, you already read that book. Why are you rereading it? I was like, I have to figure out what happened in this spicy scene. He's like, are you serious?
Oh, that is so
And
funny.
Then I explained it to him.
You're like, we have to try it, see if it works.
I'm like, okay, so this is how it happened. This is crazy.
Oh, that is so funny. Anyway, that's all we have.
Yep.
Let us know your thoughts about the book.
Yep.
Obviously, the internet is going to come up with a bunch of crazy theories.
Yes.
And so we may do another theory episode. But Rebecca is taking her sweet time with the next book. It is confirmed that there will be two more books, so it'll be a 5-book series. Hopefully, geez, we get some answers in the next book or by the end.
If I swear on my life, if we don't get
answers. I'll be so mad.
I'm going to quit reading. I'm not going to read the last book.
No.
Okay, I say that, but you know I'm going to have to
read it. I know, we have to read it.
I'm going to be
in my head,
so
I'm like, okay,
mad.
I'm reading it, but you don't have to.
Anyways, that's all.
Follow us.
Thanks for listening.
Instagram and TikTok at eb.pod. And thanks for listening.
Okay.
Bye.